approaching from an Etherport at RBN, cruising at light speed. Here's your host, Steve Starrs.
Hey, welcome back again today to Light Speed. I am Steve Starrs, your host, and glad to be with you on the show today. You know, so much going on, of course, right now, but as you are probably well aware, today is the anniversary, 22nd anniversary of 9/11. You know, I was watching the, you know, I don't watch much football anymore, but I just had to tune in real quick to watch the beginning of the game with the Giants playing the Cowboys last night in Meadowlands. And they paused for a couple minutes. You probably saw that, or a minute or two, before they sang the national anthem to remember 9/11. You know, and it was kind of a quiet, somber moment. And I thought it was respectful, of course. But, you know, they always ask this question. They make this statement. Oh, you know, we will never forget. We will not forget. And there was a moment of silence there before they started the national anthem. You know, we need to change that and put an addendum to it that says this: we will not forget what really happened. What really happened? You know, we want to know, and it's time, and we demand answers. We need to keep at it. I'm going to talk a little bit about, you know, my experience with 9/11. I kind of worked a little bit with Richard Gage at 9/11 Truth, ae911truth.org. If you visit his website, ae911truth.org, that's Architects and Engineers. And I wrote down some notes here. Let me kind of see if I can thumb through my book and find them. But there's over 3,000, let's see, what's the exact number that they have now? Something like 3,600 architects and engineers who have signed on. If you're looking for a good architect and engineer in your area, look at that list, because you're going to find somebody who's honest for a change. And there's some great people that have been out there all this time, you know, telling the truth and doing what they could do to help all of us, you know, realize a little bit more about what's been going on all the time. Now, I didn't want to get into it too much because we've, you know, you've probably heard some programs and you'll hear a lot more today, which is good. We will never forget what really happened. What really happened. Title of, you know, Mike Rivera's show for a long time on his website. But, you know, we've been watching these things for many, many years. I think you folks know. It took me a while. I don't know about you, but I kind of was in a funk at that time. I had produced my documentary, HIV Equals AIDS, Factor Fraud. Came out in late 96, early 97. And I had not been able to make much headway with it at the time. And as a matter of fact, the project went completely broke because I couldn't talk people into investigating what Fauci was doing back at that time. And what he'd already done, he'd already poisoned 300,000 people and with AZT. And, of course, Bill Gates was on his way to poisoning many more in Africa and poor countries and things like that. This was right after Bill Gates got involved as well with the whole thing. You know, remember, AIDS really wasn't an African disease when it started. Well, no, it really wasn't. It became an African disease because they were running out of patients. They were running out of explanations as to why it was happening only with IV drug addicts, people who were shooting drugs for 10 years. That'll have an effect on your immune system. And gay men, just a very small portion of the gay men who were involved in the very, very dangerous fast-track lifestyle, we call it. And they were using poppers, all kinds of drugs. This was what the Centers for Disease Control originally said. They said, this is not an infectious disease. This is a disease primarily related to risk factors, such as these people who were shooting drugs for 10 years and people who were involved in this lifestyle. These are the ones who were developing AIDS. But they needed more people, so they moved it, began to create the idea it all came from Africa. Like, you know, 1938 Tarzan movie, you know what I mean? It was all boom, 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 you know, drums and witch doctors and things like that, and, you know, and so all these ideas and kind of grimy thoughts, you know, from the old Hollywood era came up in people's minds, and that's when they moved it over to Africa. And Bill Gates got involved right around that time. He was going to do philanthropy work. You know, he decided he'd made too much money in computers, and now he was going to help us all with all kinds of other things, including the health debacles and the vaccines and the mRNA and everything else that he had planned and is still working on. So, but anyhow, I had kind of gotten into all of that and was working pretty hard with it, exposing most of that. So I didn't really, I mean, I knew something was wrong. on 9/11. I mean, I knew something, it just didn't fit. Of course, I had been looking at what had happened in Oklahoma City. We were quite well aware of it. I know some of you out there, you might want to call in, voice in your experiences or whatever. Hey, I'd be glad to talk it over, because this is a good time for people to share a lot, you know, kind of express their points of view. I want to be open to that. But, you know, I remember what happened in Oklahoma City, and we were faxing in those days. This was right before the internet really was moving capably, and we could send emails and things like that, but they really weren't. It really wasn't the internet that we have today, okay, where you can send visuals, graphics, videos, you know, memes, all kinds of other things that people send. And phones really were not out. The smartphones were not out at that time. So we had a fax network, a network of people who were faxing information back and forth. And by the way, we may have to go back to that if they try to shut down the internet. We may have to find a way to use fax machines again. We can do it, even CB radios. But anyhow, getting back to that point, that I had been watching what happened in Oklahoma City, and we were talking about this thing called the barometric bomb. I don't know if you remember that, if you were around at that time. And the barometric bomb was a bomb that exploded and then ignited upon the explosion. So it actually created a much bigger impact with the after the second ignition. And it looked like that was what they used in Oklahoma City. And there were all kinds of questions, of course, and there still are. If you ever seen the film A Noble Lie, Oklahoma City, A Noble Lie, very powerful film. It'll show you that people began to look into this even before 9/11 and saying something was horribly wrong with what happened in Oklahoma City. But you see, we didn't stop anybody there, did we? And they later passed the omnibus domestic terrorism bill. Okay. And that was designed to start tracking people inside the country. You know, we had domestic terrorists like Timothy McVeigh, who I still have questions about. What was his, Terry Nichols? Terry Nichols was his partner. I think he might have been on the legit, and he's still in prison today. And, he can't talk to anybody. They've got it all tied up. That case took place out here where I live in Denver in the 8th District, or what is the district out here? But I think it was that district court there, the federal court in downtown. There were a lot of people, of course, the whole time. And it was a sham. It was a scam. Many people believe that Tim McVeigh never died. He was supposedly injected, you know, and lethal injection. And people said, you know, I didn't know that people kept breathing when they had lethal injection. I guess it's just the nerves, right? Yeah, you know, just still going on. But, you know, they pulled his body out, and of course they burned it, and then cremated him. And that was the end of Tim McVeigh, we understand. But we know the background on this guy, Elohim City. What was the guy's name? Andrew Strassmeyer, and all the connections there. So this all happened, and the two guys that put together that film said they were just ready to release all this information when 9/11 happened. They had put together a very good presentation about what really happened at Oklahoma City, and it was coming out almost to the very day that 9/11 took place, and then all of a sudden we had a whole new terrorist attack, quote, terrorist attack, if you know what I mean. So, you know, that's... I was very vaguely in tune with all that stuff. Well, not vaguely, but pretty intensely in tune with originally what happened with Oklahoma City. A Noble Lie is the film. Watch it. It's a great film. Also, by the way, the police officer who needs to be mentioned today, Terrence Yakey, who was a black cop and a very honorable and reliable man, he knew what was going on. He was awarded Policeman of the Year for carrying out little children out from after the explosion in Oklahoma City. And he started asking questions, and he was brutally murdered by people who did not want him bringing this out. And, of course, we know the Clintons were involved. We know all those people. This was, of course, prior to old man or young man Bush, W. Bush, the idiot. You know, and he wasn't an idiot, by the way. He was a very smart man, to be honest with you. He played the idiot very, very well and fooled a lot of people. You know, but he was a sadist, a complete freak, and still is. And so is his sidekick, Dick Cheney, both of these people. But anyhow, it took me a while to kind of catch on to what really happened until I saw World Trade Center 7. And then it was like a sock in the gut. You know, I said, yeah, this isn't right. Something's horribly wrong here. So I became involved with We Are Change and a lot of these organizations and people like that who were out there protesting and showing people films. And oddly enough, at that time, Google, which used to be good and has turned out to be so evil, was putting films up like Loose Change and 9/11 Mysteries and so many other great films that were out there that showed people exactly what had happened. 9/11 Mysteries is a great film, too, by the way. Sophia Smallstorm, like to get her on sometime. She's been a pretty good friend over the years. Haven't talked to her for a while. But, hey, if you know how to get a hold of her, tell her to contact RBN. We'll get her on as a guest again. She's a great lady. But as I was saying, you know, it took me a little while to catch on. I knew something wasn't right. You know, it was really odd because I was writing a Lincoln miniseries at that time. And it just so happened, I was at the part of writing about Fort Sumter and all these people going down to the recruitment offices to join the military thinking they were going to go kick some rebel ass, you know what I mean? And all the anger and everything that was happening and all the flag waving and all that kind of stuff. And as I looked around me, I said, this looks so familiar. You know, all this patriotism, all these people singing the Star Spangled Banner, all these people saying, you can never attack America like this. You know, another Pearl Harbor, we'll fight back. We'll go get them. And, you know, we launched this brigade, if you like, or a very large, you know, attack force that went into Afghanistan to chase down what they thought were originally 50 to 100 members of Taliban. Right. Well, only 50 to 100 members, and Osama bin Laden, you know, Tim Osborne, CIA name, right? You can see the pictures of Brzezinski talking to him many years ago. He was supposed to be behind all this, as he was supposed to have been behind the original 9/11 World Trade Center 7 attack in the basement when I think it was, what year was it? I can't remember now. But that was also a fraud put up and created by the very same people. So here's the thing. We had a lot of problems with all of this, and we, you know, we all knew that something was, I don't know about you, but I had a bad feeling about it all. I didn't really know anything. I was like a lot of people, because I wasn't paying close enough attention. I was so busy with the failure of my documentary at that point, which, by the way, did finally go viral and was up there in the top 10 with Loose Change and a lot of those others when it finally got out, amazingly enough, HIV equals AIDS factor fraud. Still around. You can see it on YouTube. But, you know, what happened was I was so kind of in a funk at that moment. I knew something was wrong, but I didn't quite figure it out right away. It took me about a year, two, 3 years. It was probably around early 2004 when I started to actually look at the video and said, okay, you know, yeah, this was definitely something wrong here. Controlled demolition without a doubt. So I got into that pretty quickly and then began working with some of these people, met David Ray Griffin and some of the other people who came to town. We had a lot of good people out there that were very on board with it. A lot of the people that I knew who had been following everything that went wrong with HIV/AIDS were very quick to come around to understand what was going on with 9/11. I will say this, the people who knew about the HIV/AIDS fraud were quicker to understand 9/11 than 9/11 people were to understand HIV/AIDS. Okay, that shows you kind of I'm putting kind of an IQ marker on the discernment level there between the people. So it took us a lot longer really to actually explain what was going on with HIV/AIDS than it did 9/11. 9/11 was moving much faster, and that's where I wanted to go. I said, look, let's get after this. We can't let them get away with this. We can't let them get away with what happened here. It's way too big. It's too dangerous. It's too dramatic. We have all the facts. And one of the things that came to my mind as I looked at this and I said, okay, I can see the evidence. I said, but, you know, I think the strongest evidence is going to be in the dust, the dust. I was thinking the dust is probably the place where you're going to find explosive residue or you're going to be able to find out what really happened that turned these buildings, basically vaporized them into this pyroclastic flow that exploded and just burned as it came down into dust that was like finer than talcum powder. Wasn't it George Pataki, whatever the guy's name was, the governor who said, you know, this dust was like snow all over the downtown Manhattan, you know, lower Manhattan. And he was saying, man, you could just walk through some places, it was almost a foot deep, and other places a couple of inches, but it was everywhere. What turned those buildings into dust in midair, friends? I mean, it's amazing that we look at this, and yet we don't understand. This wasn't a pancaking effect. This wasn't something where building layer, 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 you know what I'm saying, dropped like a a bunch of records on a spindle, you know, which would have left the interstructure intact, which didn't happen, by the way. And they moved all that metal out. You know, they severed it, of course, with a thermate, a nanothermate. And they, you can see the where they burned those girders very, very plainly. As a matter of fact, I think even the memorial cross is burned in that way. You can see they have a cross, you know, made from two of the girders that were severed. And you can actually see it there. I mean, something went horribly wrong. But yet we can't make any headway with the news media, which keeps lying and lying and lying. And with the government and people like our people in government who are still lying after all these years. You know, even Donald Trump, during the debates, brought up 9/11, just mentioned it with Jebby Bush on the stage. You remember that? And Bush freaked out. Jeb Bush freaked out. He just ran off the stage like he had to piss. I'm telling you, he was totally caught off guard by what Trump said. See, Trump could have turned this around. Now, I know, I'm not trying to dig too deep on it because it's very, the swamp, as you know. But the bottom line is, you know, this is where it should have stopped right there. That lie should have been identified very early on, as well as what the Democrats and Hillary and her murderous crew, you know, all these people have been murdered in the wake of the Clinton power grab. You know, all of these people should have been identified a long time ago, friends. That's all there is to it. So why isn't it happening? Well, it's not happening because the damn news media, which I was a part of many years ago, I think I told you, you probably listened to the show. I was a news anchor at a small ABC affiliate. They didn't like the news director was a Democrat, and I didn't like him. Well, let's put it this way. We were professionally friendly, but, you know, we personally not very. He didn't like me, and I didn't like him. He put me into sports. He wanted to make me a sports anchor instead of a news anchor because he had this young woman who really wasn't good on camera. She was overweight. But her parents were Democrats, very powerful Democrats, one in the House, U.S. House, and another one, a very important leader in the state government there. You know, he wanted to push forward these Democrats into our newsroom. And I could see that right then and there. This was 1980, 81. I'm really dating myself going back. But I'm saying basically that you could see the news media was corrupt, vile, just absolutely filthy corrupt. Even I could see that back in the early 80s. So I got out of it. And I started, that's why I went independent, to give people the real news. You know, people like you that are listening to this network, supporting this network. We really need you. But anyhow, friends, just talking a little bit about the past on as how my own interaction took place. And when Architects and Engineers started, I contacted, actually Richard Gage was kind of late too. I think it was around 2006 when he started. It took him a while to get going on this. But when Richard Gage started Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, and that's AE911Truth.com. If you want to see the site, over 3,600 architects and engineers and 33,000 people in the population like me are on that list. You'll find my name on there somewhere. But, you know, a lot of people are out there now. It's growing, still growing. And there's a lot of great architects. I mean, the numbers are astounding. That's a university, friends, peer review, unlike what Noam Chomsky had said, that the whole thing with the 9/11 controlled demolition so-called theory or explanation, he said it was never peer-reviewed. Baloney. You got 3,600, over 3,600 architects and engineers on there, and 33,000 people have looked at this. Everybody knows or should know by now. You've got to be daft if you don't really know what happened on 9/11. So every time you see that saying, you know, up there, if you have a magic marker, it says, "We will never forget," and then you got to write, "What really happened?" We'll never forget what really happened there, and we're going to hold it to them. And I think it's important on every time this anniversary comes around that we rub their noses in it again. These people are going to hell, as far as I'm concerned. And I had a lot of comments. You know, I would comment on YouTube videos and stuff like that. And I knew some of these people were narcs and, you know, spooks and people like that. They were working for the other side. I knew that, but I had comments for them. Stay with us. Be right back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Tell you, if you do, I understand, especially when it comes to the delinquency and basically the evil satanic agendas of this government and what they do, the kinds of things they do. And, you know, I'm not wanting to harp overdo it because today's 9/11. It's a painful memory for a lot of us, and it's a frustrating day. But I did want to say that I was getting back to Richard Gage. I talked to Richard Gage when he was first beginning Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, and he was running into resistance. You know, his wife was trying to talk him out of it. I won't go into the personal stuff because I don't know. Richard probably talks about it easier and better than I can anyway. I don't want to get into his life. But, you know, and her priest and all these people trying to talk him out of doing what he was doing. But he was determined to keep it going. I think he's a great man. We've interviewed him before right here on this network. I think you've heard him before. And he's still at it, friends. He's still at it. But one of the things I told Richard from the very beginning, I said, Richard, you know, what I can tell you from what I've seen so many times in American history, there are people who raise good questions, who do great research, who present arguments and show people what really happened and talk about what needs to be investigated and prosecuted. But they never go anywhere because they never put together the legal force to get it done. They never get the kind of muscle and meat and teeth into this whole thing to make it happen. You've got to get into, you've got to go from the point of being a scientist to being an accuser. You know, you have to be a prosecutor in this whole situation or you never make any difference. And, He is still at it, and he's got some cases that are running right now. I heard an interview today that he did, and I was going to try to get to the clips, but the interview was running live, and I wasn't able to grab it and measure out the time and send it over here to the station so we could do it. But, yeah, he's got another film coming out pretty quickly here. It's going to be a good one. And if they're definitely taking this another step higher, they're going to try to work it into some form of government review, which we really need. 9/11 still needs to be reviewed, honestly, after all these years. And I don't care. Let the heavens fall, you know, but let the truth be told about what really happened. You know, let's not just we'll never forget. Let's have we'll never forget what really happened. We need to see this for what it is, filthy, dirty murder that started wars and perpetuated all this nonsense. And as I said before, there were only going to be, 40 or 50, maybe 60 different Taliban people out there that they thought were directly involved in this. And did you hear the interview, that amazing interview that Aaron Russo did, where he actually predicted all this? And he said they'll be chasing some terrorists off in the cave someplace that they'll never find, because you see, the war against terrorism is never supposed to be won. It's always a continual thing that they can use and manipulate, just like they're doing now, and create situations where they can gallivant a lot of power and knee-jerk reactions out of people who don't pay attention enough to the details to question anything and get them to go along. I think I've talked about it before on the show here. It's the IC Talon theory. You sink that talon of fear into the public's mind, and you can manipulate them any way you want to. That's what they did. It's exactly what they did. And it's surprising that the news media let it go by. But as I've said, I worked with the news media. They're filthy. They're disgusting. These people will have their place in the lake of fire. Whosoever loves and makes a lie is going to have their place in the lake of fire. And I've been chatting, as I was saying before the break, that I, you know, sometimes talking to various people, they would argue one thing after another about 9/11. I keep coming back and refuting them. Well, I finally came up to it and I said, let me tell you something. You know, whosoever loves and makes a lie is going to have their place in the lake of fire. And 9/11 is the kind of lie that'll get you there. You know, and they shut up. It's pretty amazing that some of these people didn't really say much of anything. I said, you're going to be held accountable for this. You know, you won't get out. You won't be able to escape it. So I don't care who you're working for. I don't care what kind of, controlled opposition, or not really controlled opposition, but what kind of, hidden dark spook activity you're involved in. I don't really care. You know what I mean? But the thing is, about your soul, you're not going to get out of this. You and your damn lies are going to be held accountable for it. So we better keep that in mind, friends. I mean, there is a judgment coming. Now, what can we do right now, of course? Well, I mentioned it to Richard Gage, and he's actually putting together a much better film right now that's going to be used in a prosecutional tool capability. So it's not like it's all over. It is something that we need to see to correct history at this point, because, you know, it's hard to believe 22 years have gone by since that happened. Where were you when 9/11 happened that morning? What did you think? You know, I'll be honest and said, you know, I thought that even understanding, you know, Oklahoma City, what happened, I thought this is over the top. This has got to be for real, because I don't think they would go that far. A lot of people would believe that. You know, you ask them, do you believe 9/11 was an inside job? And some people would kind of hem haw around and say, well, you know, I could understand why they would do it, but they would never go this far to do so. Yes, they would. Yes, they will. They will do these things, friends. We're in a lot of trouble right now. And kind of get into the discussion about the impeachment and a few of those things that I've been telling people as well. Now, I'm coming to a point, okay? It's simply this. We don't know how to fight these people, because we don't know the tools. And because we don't know the tools, we lose. Richard Gage has been at it all these years, not making much progress, friends. The reason why? He's not using the tools yet. He's starting to. And I was telling him that all along. I'll be right back. Maybe take some calls if you want to call in. Stay with us.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It is. Judgment is coming, friends. Judgment is coming. I wish it wasn't. But, you know, when you can't change directions, when people will not turn around and look at what's really going on, you know, that's when judgment is coming. You can tell. And this is, it's frightening. It's scary. Well, look at the judgment we're under right now with this maniac, this idiot, this senile, perverted, old, deviant traitor in office, and the guy can't even string a sentence together anymore. And we said this was going to happen before. I contacted the head of the Republican Party, Ken Buck, who was a congressman before all this happened, and I said, this man was never vetted. This man was never vetted as a presidential candidate. He has already three standing constitutional violations. High crimes and misdemeanors. Well, they were still arguing about that right now. You know, I guess Hunter's laptop didn't exist. We knew about it all the way back then. High crimes and misdemeanors. Bribery. Remember when he bribed, they talked about how, boasted about how he bribed the prime minister, of Ukraine to get his son, his deviant son, out of trouble. You know, everybody laughed at the CFR. You know, and then three, treason. Obviously, he was involved with treason. It was treason, really, what happened during the election in 2016. Absolutely, it was treason. You know, that was beyond just election interference. It was treason with a capital T. You know, these people are really that bad. They really are. Judgment is coming because we can't stop them. And it's not because of – there are a lot of good people. I hate to say we as a nation have become so bad. No, I don't think so. It's not we. It's some people that we've allowed to become so bad that are putting us in danger right now. And we, the people like you out there, you and me and the rest of us that care, we're the ones that need to stand up and get involved and try to – turn this situation around. Yes, it still can be turned around, maybe before the stuff hits the fan, as you know. It's coming, though. It's not getting far off. I mean, we're already seeing the effects of it, and people are waking up. The Democrats are fading. They know something's really wrong with Biden. They can't support him anymore. They're concerned. And of course, they got that idiot Harris in there. She's going to have to go too, as well as Garland and Mayorkas and some of these others, Chris Ray. These people need to be held accountable. I'll get into that topic in a little bit, but getting back to 9/11. So I talked to Richard Gage, and I said, you know, you're going to have to become the accuser in this situation, the prosecutor. You can't just be an interesting group of scientists who have information and your books are interesting your conversation pieces on a coffee table. You've got to get into the dirty work here going after these people. And he's still in there. He's hanging into it. He's got a new film coming out very soon. They're going to be showing you the dust. Remember I talked about the dust? The dust is evidence, obviously, of a very high degree temperature melting point that basically reduced a lot of this material to particle in a matter of seconds. These buildings didn't even hit the ground. They were coming apart so fast, and the towers, that is. World Trade Center 7 was a little different, a little bit more like a traditional collapse. But whatever they used on those towers, very similar looks to, I think Greg Reese put up a video that showed you the similarities between what happened in Hawaii, in Maui there, you know, and also the cars that were burned out outside and parked along the lines and the parking lots and things like that around the World Trade Center 7. Not World 7, but 1 and 2, or some of the others probably around World 7 too as much, because there was such an intensive heat. I mean, this doesn't happen with gasoline or kerosene fires, you know. If it did, you wouldn't have a stove. You wouldn't have a natural gas stove, you know what I mean? It'd just melt. If it did, semi-trucks wouldn't run because their motors would melt down, you know. I mean, come on. It's crazy that we people want to even stand still and make believe that any of this is real. Okay, so we know. Yeah, we all know. And I think probably 99.9% of you out there are quite well aware of what happened on 9/11 by now. But we have made very, very little progress with it. Why didn't Trump deal with this? You know, what really bothers me is that the two people who were the biggest cover-up artists in 9/11 were the ones deciding his fate in the witch hunt. Who would that be? Mueller? Okay, where was Mueller? Mueller was selected to be the head of the FBI 7 days before 9/11. And Rudy Giuliani was the mayor of New York City at that time. Now, why wasn't any of this coming out and should have been when you got these two people there? Well, let's put it this way. Now you can see why it wasn't because of these two people there. But I'm saying that you've got people like that who were covering up all of this all that time. Trump could have easily exposed this. He even said that, when you want to bring down a building, you got to get at the infrastructure, the foundation. It's got to be something bigger than just a plane hitting it at the top. You've got to actually break it up from the bottom. And something to that effect. You probably heard the clip. I don't have it. I should have played it, but it's not really that big of a deal. But Trump, I think Trump is well aware of what happened on 9/11. How could he not be? I mean, come on. He builds buildings. You know what I mean? Like Trump Tower. Yeah, I think he knows exactly. He does. But he didn't want to touch it. And he just mentioned it and scared Jeb Bush right off the stage because they knew he could pull that ace and throw it down on the table. I can't. Well, let's put it this way. Trump had the wrong idea about going into office, to be honest with you. I think he deliberately stayed away from the kind of serious controversy that the president of the United States, who is not a deal maker, friends, he's not a negotiator, and it's not the economy, stupid. It's law enforcement. His job, his oath, and obligation are law enforcement. His job is to be a law enforcer, a prosecutor. He's somebody there to protect and defend the Constitution, which he swore before God to do. Okay, and I'm not, like I said, you know, you might think I don't like Trump. I've been pulling for him the whole way, but I've been constantly disappointed in the fact that he is not doing his job right. You know, you can just track it all the way along his whole career. How could he let Rudy Giuliani and Mueller sit there and decide what was going to happen with the witch hunt over all that time? You know, I mean, Giuliani's deep into this. He has to be. I mean, they destroyed his city and he's still covering it up. You know, what a mayor, right, yeah. And Mueller, of course, Mueller, if you want to call him that. I don't think he mulls things over. I think he's a Mueller, an ass. You know, I think he's – how can you let this guy pretend to be a cop? You know, come on. I mean, all of this stuff, it's – what is so astounding about what's happening here is that it's so impossible for this kind of evil to be in control and in charge of our country. People like Biden, people like Obama. Remember his birth certificate? Yeah, I mean, I used to card kids. You know what I mean? With years ago, and man, that short form would never pass me. It was so obviously a fraud. And people found out the long form is the same way too. You can see the layers with it. It's so easy to expose these people, and nobody does it because the damn media. It's the media that is the problem. A media that I once belonged to a long time ago, the mainstream. I worked at a big CBS affiliate. I think I told you the story. Some of you who listen to the show will be bored. You might hear it again. But in the mornings, there was a young reporter that was starting up, and he would come in to do what they call the CBS morning cut-ins, where they had the local news during the CBS morning news. And there was nobody up in the newsroom, so he would come down to visit us lowly engineers and production people, you know. But, yeah, we kind of kidded him about it. He was good-natured. He actually a pretty good guy, really. But he would sit, and we would talk a little bit about the news and what was going on. His name was Harry Smith. Harry Smith. Does that name ring a bell? You know who Harry Smith is, right? Harry Smith from CBS Morning News. He had Dan Rather's job if he wanted it. He didn't want it. It wasn't his style. He didn't want to be a Dan Rather. He liked the morning news. He liked the chit-chat. He liked the interaction with people. He liked to talk and to be kind of himself. He's a little aloof, a little high class, you know, but he seemed to be a pretty good guy. His career was going one way and mine's going another, and I would take mine over his any day to day. I'm not the least bit dissatisfied. As a matter of fact, they even talked to me about being a sports anchor at Channel 7 for a little while I was there, and I said, no, I love sports, but not enough, man. I mean, you've got to really, really love sports if you want to be a sports anchor. You know, you can't fake it. I don't want to do that. I like sports, but and I follow it a little bit, as you know. But, you know, no. And I couldn't be a news anchor. I knew that because you're controlled there. These people are puppets. They're puppets. They just sit there and they read what they're told to read. And they are always threatened if they get off track just a little bit. You know, it's a tough situation. So I don't envy those people, and I don't envy Harry Smith. You know, he went a long ways from being just a morning cut-in guy to a news anchor to a correspondent in Dallas and then all the way to New York City. You know, he was on that program, The Rock, with Ted Koppel and Tom Brokaw and Harry Smith. You know, the NBC program when he went over to NBC. So, I mean, you know, the guy went all the way. He's pretty well known. I as a person, I kind of liked him. But, you know, I mean, you know what his background was? News and investigation? No. Theatrics. Look him up. Theater. An actor. Okay. You know, this is the kind of people who are telling you the information. And they are liars. They're liars. It's despicable how bad our news media is. And I can say that I got a degree in journalism and I worked as a news anchor with those people. No. Don't. You don't even want to trust these people. You know, they really aren't even being paid by ratings, friends. Ratings don't matter in this business anymore, the big business. It's all funded by pharmaceuticals and private interests. They don't care that you don't watch. You know why? They like having a group, a closed circuit group to dummies. All they need to do is keep the dummies confused. People who only watch that stuff are dummies, really, to be honest with you. Take it seriously. You know, I don't even watch it. Do you watch the news? I don't even watch it at all anymore. It just makes me angry. I know it's all bad. I mean, you might get the weather report. It might be accurate. You want to hear the sports scores, probably. But, you know, occasionally there's some good things, too. The news media as a whole is a little bit like a leaky bucket, okay? They're basically carrying around a lot of water or some other stuff in that bucket, and it's an old rusty bucket, and occasionally things slip out, you know what I mean? They spill a few things here and there, and if you're quick enough, you can catch them. You can say, okay, but stuff does get out. Remember, Jane Stanley has just told us that the Solomon Brothers building has collapsed. Jane, remember she's standing there telling you that the Building 7 had collapsed and standing there behind her and it wouldn't collapse for another 20 minutes. Then suddenly the feed went dead. Remember that? These are the kinds of moments when certain things do slip out. You can catch them. Who was it? Was it Dan Rather or was it Peter Jennings? I can't remember that said, whenever you see a building fall like this, it looks a little bit like a controlled demolition, you know, where high-powered explosives are used to destroy the building. Oh, no. I'm sure it was just the planes and the gasoline or the kerosene and the fuel that caused the heat. You know, they quickly changed all that very quickly on air. I think most of these news anchors were caught off guard, to be honest with you. I mean, from the way they talked, but they were basically conditioned and told this is the story we're going with. Just like the election, the phony election. It's the same thing that's happening all the time here. Now, I don't blame we, the people, all of us, as being the problem. As I've said, we are not the problem. It's those people that have to be taken down, and they need to have it done legally. And that's what we're not doing right now, especially with, here's my point again, impeachment. That needs to be coming. It needs to be pressed. I've been in touch with Lauren Boebert's office. I've contacted Kevin McCarthy. And I'm telling them, get off your ass. You're wasting precious time. Get this done now. And they keep making excuses for it. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about what we can do and should be doing. Okay. I can tell you that when I got involved with what I saw happening with 9/11, you know, kind of late, but even by 2006, I think it was in the midterm elections, the Rocky Mountain News, which was kind of a conservative newspaper in the Denver area, had an article that it showed, I think the headlines were on the paper were 9/11 doubts expound or whatever it was, or abound, something to that effect. And 9/11 doubts and 9/11 conspiracies are being talked about. They showed that at that point, months before the midterm election in 2006, that about 16% of the population believed 9/11 was an inside job. Another 34%, something like that, believe that it was, they allowed this to happen, like Pearl Harbor. You know, it was something that either allowed to happen or they were just inept in handling it very well. But I think all in all, the number of people who had serious doubts about 9/11 in 2006 was upwards of around 62-65%, almost two-thirds, okay? And they were either blaming the military for being inept, or they were blaming people for allowing this to happen, or they were like in the camp that most of us are, that we know very well this was planned and it was carried out by murderous people who are very deviant with an agenda for the, drumroll, Patriot Act, okay? Isn't it odd the Patriot Act was all written? Even one of the, I believe it was one of the congressmen or senators held it up and said, this thing is still hot. You know, I mean, they had just printed it off. And in his hands as they handed it to him, and now they're expected to sign all this. This Patriot Act was written long before 9/11, friends, and it was designed to go into effect, just like the omnibus terrorism bill that hit right after Oklahoma City. So, I mean, it was pretty obvious they were going to lock us down with this new Patriot Act deal in the threat, in the power of this icy talon that they had sunk into the people's minds with fear and controlling the population. So this is what we're looking at, those of us like you that know about what's really going on. You got to get busy. Now, here's what I would say. Okay, this is what we got to do. You got to get on your phones and start calling Congress people. You got to press for an impeachment. You know, most people do not ever talk to their congressional representatives. If you talk to them, you are probably the voice of 300 people, to be honest with you, because that's about what it boils down to in almost every constituency, or how many people out there are really involved. Now, if you're a lobbyist, of course, there's a lot of those, and you know, you get right in with a lot of money. You can buy just about anybody. You've seen that, you know that. But a lot of these people will respond to enough calls and responses, and Roy Beck with Numbers USA proved that. So when I got involved with this, I looked at it from the standpoint of, let's create the kind of power and pressure lobby to bother these people in Congress about what's going on. Because if we don't, they're going to go their merry way, whistle a tune, and keep ripping us off and destroying our lives. That's how bad it is. So, you know, I said, this is what we need to do. We need to start a campaign of some sort. Let's mimic or work with Roy Beck's Numbers USA model. Roy Beck's Numbers USA was designed to have people fax a congressman whenever there was an issue concerning immigration and they were making progress. Congressmen were voting, changing their votes on the floor when they were finding out that their office was saying, we're getting a massive amount of objections and protests against what you're getting ready to do. They were changing their vote on the floor, friends. All right, be right back with one final segment here. Stay tuned to RBN.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tell you to the paper cup.
Light Speed today. Steve Starr is with you, and I know I'm preaching to the choir to a large extent, but I'm also trying to tighten your grip on what is effective. Friends, we don't know how to use the tools. That's what the problem is, really. Roy Beck proved that you could put the pressure on Congress and you could get them to respond. But he used this fax device that he had, this fax system, and people were sending in thousands of fax in protest of these litigations that were that Bush, George W. was putting through at that time. And, I mean, it was pretty evident that he was successful. And I wanted to set something like that up for 9/11. And I talked to Ted Anderson at GCN. He liked the idea, and I was working on it, but I didn't have the computer system that could do it. I had some guys that I thought could develop the computer system. They could make a nice web page, but they couldn't set up the fax system that I needed. You know, I'm going, oh, my gosh, these are just kids. They don't know what they're doing. And but I had some people who were involved, and I tried very, very hard, and I got some faxes out, and I was trying to show people, look, if we were to basically just spit out faxes all day long in these congressional offices about 9/11 in all these places, things would change. Friends, we don't know how to use the tools. That's the problem here. We don't know how. If you haven't called your congressman or your representatives, your senators or anything like that, why should they change? They're happy as fat and lazy in that office, making money, screwing you around and ruining the nation, friends. And our problem is we just don't know how to use the tools. I've said that for so long now, it's almost redundant. But, you know, I even mentioned it to Alex Jones. And, you know, of course, he said, well, no, Congress isn't going to do anything. I said, how do you know, Alex? You never put any pressure on the government to do this. You know, I'm telling you, friends, you don't want to go out to rallies and have signs and protest. You want to get in there and use your power and authority on your representatives. You know, if you had that kind of support, putting out faxes and letters and calls to these people, things would start to change. They can ignore 10,000s of rallies with 10,000 people in them. They have all along. They're not listening to that. We have got to put these people under pressure right now. And this impeachment has to go through immediately. We are wasting precious time right now. I'm going to be calling Ken Buck, who I don't like. You know, I've told you about him, who has been a lazy sluggard and needs to be raked over the coals for it. And also Kevin McCarthy and people like that. You know, hey, Marjorie Taylor Greene is doing more, and so is Lauren Boebert, than all the so-called men in the Republican Party. I mean, we have got to put pressure on them to stop what they're doing. And if you want to save anything, that's the only way we're going to do it. You know, there's no other solution. And I've said before, man, don't ask me to pick up an AR and hide in a foxhole with you if you can't use a telephone now. You know, if you don't know how to use the tools that you have from your home, how are you ever going to defend yourself? And I'd be afraid to be around people like that, to be honest with you. You know, I just think they don't have enough keen sense and understanding to fix things. Hey, I'm not against it, friends. You know, like I said, if it's going to come to that, it's going to come to that. But we're heading into it very, very fast. Judgment is here, friends. It's here. And I don't know how we're going to get around it. But outside of a prayer, you know, and outside of some hope, I think we're in some real trouble. So, you know, I just want to encourage you a little bit. You know, remember this, though. Your hope is in God. It's not in people. Pray Psalms 91 over your life, you know, right now. You can survive this. We're going to go through it. A lot of people are going to perish, to be honest with you. They had it coming because they weren't listening. You are listening. Stay tuned and keep listening right here to RBN. See you again next Monday or sometime in between. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye now.
Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.